to Plot Twist I Forgot. I am Davin.
I'm Laura.
And today we're going to grad school with our main character, Olive, at Stanford, right? That's where she goes?
Yeah.
First? Okay, Stanford. Because we have read The Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood to continue kind of the romance theme we have for February. And we're going to chat about it. So again, if you haven't read it and you do want to read it, especially I know the movie's coming out, so everyone I think is kind of rushing to read it if they haven't already, then you'll want to pause because we are going to spoil things like we normally do.
Yeah, so, we are.
You've been warned. You've been warned. Okay, before we get into it though, do you have a favorite romance trope?
I love fake dating, usually.
Yeah, same. Oh, no, yeah. You had feelings about this one. I actually enjoyed it. Except for that one part that we'll talk about, but...
Puke. We will talk about it, because I put a little note there. I like that. I do enjoy a grumpy sunshine occasionally, mm-hmm. You know? I like most of the trope. I cannot stand miscommunication. It makes me so mad. I know that almost all of these books have it in there, but it's... Mm-hmm. I sent you that gif of that man screaming, why won't you talk to each other? Talk, 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 talk.
Yes.
And that's how I feel. It just...
Yes. I feel like I'm usually with you there because there are times where it is just so infuriating where it's like, okay, this has gone long enough. For the love of God, just please talk to each other. This time, I didn't feel like that. It didn't feel as frustrating for me, at least. It was, I don't know, it was okay.
I was at the end when she doesn't tell him like what happened at the conference, I was just filled with an insane rage.
But well, she does end up telling him,
not soon enough for me.
Well, I mean, we'll get to it. I did think how they met was super funny, and obviously it takes a while for her to like make the connection, but the whole scene of her in the bathroom talking to who she doesn't even know who she's talking to, like I can just picture that where her eyes are closed and she's like, yeah, my contacts are expired, it's totally fine, anyways, you know, yeah, blah blah blah.
They meet like on her day of interviewing for grad school, mm-hmm. And she has expired contacts in her eyes and she goes into this bathroom thinking it's just a normal bathroom to rinse out her eyes or whatever, and he's in there, I don't know, pouring chemicals down a drain, which doesn't seem great, but yeah. I'm not a scientist. And she just babbles at him, and he, like, reassures her in the way that she needs to be reassured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she assumes he's a grad student, and they're just, like, chatting, and, you know, he's like, you have the right reason to be here. You're gonna be fine. I'm sure it's gonna go good. It's okay. You're fine.
Yeah.
And then she gets in.
And then you fast forward in a time machine 2 years, I think, mm-hmm. And she's been a grad student at Stanford that whole time, and her best friend, Ann.
I love her.
Yeah.
Her and the whole trio, her and Malcolm and Olive, are so fun together.
Yeah, when they're all together. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I think Olive is super annoying. But how the fake dating starts is... Olive dated a boy called Jeremy, and she could tell that her friend Ann and he had really hit it off. And she wants Ann to think that she's seeing someone else. And so when she sees Ann in the hallway, she walks up to the nearest body and says, can I kiss you? And then just does it.
And just kisses them.
Yeah. And then she realizes that it's Chief Adam Carlson.
Mm-hmm. The wunderkin of the science department, who was just notoriously an easy, like, quick to anger kind of dude. So she's like, all of this is the worst possible situation.
Grumpy and mean to grad students, and he picks apart their dissertations, and he has the personality of just like being a hard ass on campus and everyone's afraid of him.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it's funny too, because didn't she tell Ann that she was going on a date but just went to the lab instead, and then she sees Ann and is like,
oh, I lied.
This is not, my bad. How is this supposed to go?
Right.
I feel like as far as excuses go for fake dating, this one is kind of a funny one in that it's really low stakes. Like usually in fantasy, it's like, oh, you have to do this or else, you know, we need to, because we're going to go discover the answer to this secret. And the only way we can do it is whatever assets the other person has. And this one is just like, I want my friend to go date someone, so I need to go fake date someone. Like, it is the most low risk
yeah
reason to do this.
His reason is more high stakes.
Yeah, he has a better reason where he wants funding for, you know, grants, and they're holding it because they think he's a flight risk, because of course him being so notable, they think he's gonna go to a different institution, so they don't want to give him money.
Right. So he has been,
that's why he's into it.
He received a grant that he's working on mm-hmm. with someone in Harvard, and they're afraid because of that grant he's gonna leave and go to Harvard.
Mm-hmm. I did love the part though. I love Anne and just all the banter as a group that they have, because they're, I think, I forget when she ends up questioning Olive about why she's what's going on with Adam Carlson, because she's like, we're best friends and you never told me, that's very strange, why is this the first time I'm hearing about it? And she has this line of like, does he know that we share Malcolm's Netflix password, like it being a federal crime, and is that why you're dating the teacher, is because we're committing this crime?
Did he say he was gonna report you to the FBI?
Yes, exactly.
There's one like, what else does she say? It's like, oh, are aliens coming and the only way to save our race is for you to date him? Like, there's some other...
Yes.
Yeah.
Because everyone, like, all the students hate him or are scared of him, and she's just like, uh-huh, yeah, sure, whatever, but has to keep up the ruse of it. But, of course, they start going on, like, little coffee dates, because she's like, we need to get to know each other. And she's a big rom-com person. So she's like, when we're fake dating, and he's like, why do you keep saying that? She's like, it's a thing. Like,
it's a thing.
It's a trope. It's a thing. And they start going on little coffee dates and getting to know each other more. And of course, slowly starting to maybe catch feelings.
Feel more while she drinks really sugary beverages and he drinks black coffee. Because they're not like other scientists. They're special.
I see you do not like that.
it's fine. I don't have a problem with that, really.
I know this is sidetrack. So this was your first Allie Hazelwood 2. Yeah. Didn't you go by mate?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
Mm-mm.
Huh.
Nope.
I definitely would have pegged you for an Allie Hazelwood person.
I wouldn't not read mate. I just haven't been there. Like, I've really only been reading horror. I haven't been reading any, like, rom-coms or... whatever mm-hmm. that is, paranormal romance. I don't even know what genre. Yeah, I think that one's
paranormal romance.
But, yeah, no, haven't read it.
Are you going to watch the movie of this one when it comes out?
I won't pay to watch it, but if it's on my TV, I might watch it.
You might watch it.
Like, I'm not going to go to theaters to see it.
Fair. I think it was overall fun, though. Like, it is kind of just, like, it was a good palate cleanser.
You know, I read a lot of rom-coms, and I put a review for this on Goodreads, and it said if I had read this 10 years ago, I might have liked it, but in my 30s, meh. Mm-hmm. And I still feel that way. I don't know. I don't like an age gap romance, really.
Mm-hmm.
He can't find somebody his own age to date. He's 10 years older than her.
No, he's only like 34.
She's in her early 20s.
She's 26.
Still, it's just blech.
It's not the worst age gap. I mean,
it's Avatar, not, but like the
500 years.
But the age banter, I just like.
There was a lot of age banter on her end of like, you're so old, and.
And they do. So she wears like, you know, unicorn knee socks, and she drinks these like sugary drinks, and like, I don't know. There was just a vibe there that I didn't like.
Okay.
It gave me the ick.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because I'm old and bitter. I don't know.
But through a big point of the story, too, is that her mom died of pancreatic cancer. And so that's all her research is about, is like early detection. And she's trying to get into a lab. And there's this really great, notable scientist in cancer research, I believe specifically, but just in general, Tom Benton. And who does Tom Benton happen to be best friends with?
Lo and behold,
Adam Carlson. And she is so excited because he's like, yeah, I'll meet with you. You know, we can chat about everything. And then during one of the coffee dates, Tom Benton comes in. And this is the same day he's supposed to talk to Olive. Olive doesn't know. And she's like, I wasn't ready to pitch you right now. I did not. Like, she's thrown off the whole situation because he's like, why don't we just talk now? And she's like,
Because I'd rather set myself on fire, but...
Yeah, she's like, no, because I'm here on a quote-unquote date with my fake boyfriend, so I would not like to do this. But of course, Tom being Tom is just like, well, let's chat now. And so they do, and it's fine. And he's like, you'll come to Harvard right. with me next year.
It goes
year.
Well. He says, like, you know, send me your most up-to-date research or whatever. And she sends him that, and he's like, this is excellent. Like, can't wait to have you in my lab.
Yes, basically. And throughout all of this, too, there's, of course, all the weird little, like, moments where they have to act like a couple because people
anytime,
are watching.
Anytime On is around, they have to do things. And I have some thoughts on it. Okay. So in the first interaction, they're in a theater and someone's giving a talk and it's very crowded.
It's Tom's talk.
Tom's talk. Yeah. There we go. They're all very excited about Tom's talk. And so there's a bunch of people and there's not enough room. And so On suggests that Olive sits on Adam's lap. And I said, if my friend told me to sit on my boyfriend's lap at work, I would kick her.
That's what was funny, too, where it's like, if it was a more casual situation, sure, but this is, like, our professional environment, and it's not professional for either of us to do this.
And they try and downplay it, like, On says a bunch of stuff, like, oh, don't you remember, like, the couple that was making out in the back of so-and-so's talk, and, like, somebody says something about an HJ, and... Like, I get that, but there's also this focus in this book that's, like, women in STEM, and I can't imagine a woman asking another woman to sit on someone's lap at work. Like, it just...
Oh, okay, yeah. I could see that now. I didn't think about that at the time, but it is definitely not the move.
And I get it. It's not, like, at work. You're not in a work meeting, right? You're in a... I don't know what they're called.
But all your colleagues are around.
Everyone you work with.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me. So that's, like, the first interaction. I think the same day, I don't remember, the time frames are all wonky, but Adam pushes a car out of everyone's way. And On is like, you should go kiss him for as a reward for...
Yeah, I thought that was, like, he deserves a kiss because he just pushed a car. And it's like...
Yeah, I guess.
Don't talk to me. Yeah, so she has to go over there and is, like, trying to talk about other things. And he's like, yeah. And they just kiss.
And that one's fine. I think my favorite one, when I was listening to it, I just wrote, is too much sunscreen a trope?
Oh, yeah. That was so in, because I had never read that before either.
No. It's an entertaining little blip. Like, you have to have these forced interactions in order for them to, like, you know, have some physical interaction that makes them think perhaps there could be more. Like, I get it, but that made me laugh. And On's focus on skin cancer is my focus on skin cancer, so I get that.
So you're like, okay, I could, because she's like, you need all this, everyone has to put on sunscreen, do it. And she gives her too much and is like, all right, well, I don't know, figure out what to do with it.
Put it on him, he's pale.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's a whole thing. And bless her heart is the instigator of literally everything and the reason that they're together.
Yeah.
The entire time.
They should thank her.
They should thank her.
She does get with Jeremy, so yes, Olive so gets what she wants out of it.
For her, yeah. But they also put it on a deadline, like this wasn't going to be a forever thing. It was going to be for like a month or two or something until he has a meeting where he learns about funding. So she's like, cool, okay, well, my part is taken care of. But I think at this point she starts to realize that she actually has feelings for him.
Yeah.
And doesn't know what to do. And plus, not that she talks about it a lot, really at all, her friends have to tell her how in love she is and how in love with her he is. But Malcolm's the only one who knows that it's a fake dating situation. So throughout this whole thing, he kind of is just like...
Yeah.
Watching as Olive has to go through these hoops.
Malcolm is so mad at first because Adam picked apart his dissertation and he had to go back and rework his thesis, I think.
Yeah.
So Malcolm has beef with him and he hates him. And so Olive has to tell him that it's fake so that he's not mad at her.
Yeah, exactly. So he's the only one that knows and feels kind of bad. Like, we get to a point where they're going to that conference and they had all been looking forward to it because Malcolm and On are going to go too, and they're all going to room together. At least that is what she thought, but they had made their own accommodations because they're like, well, of course you're going to stay with Adam. And she's like, no. What do you mean
I was actually going to stay with you guys because we were supposed to have fun, but okay.
Yeah, we were supposed to do our friend thing, but of course her best friend has a new boyfriend that she's obsessed with, and then I forget where Malcolm stays.
Malcolm's just, like, staying with other friends because he couldn't find a way to, like, keep it from on if he didn't...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He didn't know how to do...
Keep the group separate. So Olive is like, well, now I have to find an Airbnb, and everything is, like, super unsuitable or, like, really far away or gets snatched out right from under her. And as she's searching, of course, Adam shows up and is like, well, you can just stay with me. There are two beds, I swear.
Yeah, she's like, no, there's only going to be one. He's like, no, literally, I looked and there's two. She's like, I don't care what you saw. There will only be one bed.
When we get there, it'll just be the one.
Yes, and there's not one. There is two beds. There are so two. That part of the trope. You got one seat, but two beds in this.
Before they get to the conference, Olive has realized that she has feelings for Adam and is telling Malcolm in the coffee shop where she's supposed to have a date with Adam.
Oh, that's right. About, because she doesn't realize it's that time.
About how she has these feelings and, like, she thinks about him all the time and doesn't know what to do with it and blah, blah, blah. And who should walk up behind her but Adam as she's saying this? And because she doesn't want Adam to know, because how could he ever have those types of feelings for her? She says that she was talking about somebody else. So it is at this point in the story that Adam thinks she's in love with somebody else and still offers, you know, stay in my room. I'm only going to be there for one night anyway. I have meetings. Like, no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. So the whole time, and she's just like, wants to, you know, she doesn't totally want to do it because she knows it's not the best idea, but she doesn't really have a choice because also she ends up being asked to speak at the event where before she thought she was just going to present a poster. And no, she's actually going to be on a panel with other professors. And
she's the only grad student on this panel, and she is freaking out.
Yes, she is. She's like, I don't like public speaking. This is, nope, can't do it. This is not, which also, girl, same. I hate public speaking, I would not want to do this.
I would run away.
Oh, 100%. Be like, wow, I really don't need to go to this conference. So crazy. Yeah. I think I'm good.
Turns out, I have the flu, and I can't go.
Turns out pancreatic cancer solved itself since you invited me, so I think I'm good.
Ta-da!
Ta-da magic. But no, she has to speak, and this is when it kind of takes a turn that I wasn't totally expecting. I think I listened to this part going into work.
I saw this coming 1,000 miles away because Holden hates him.
That is true. Yeah, Holden, which I loved Holden too, especially at the end.
I have a note.
Precious.
I have a note. Okay. I have a note. And it said, Holden is the only good thing about this book, which is a little harsh. There are other good things, but Holden was my favorite part of the book.
Yes, he is very great. He is also one of Adam's longest friends and also best friend, but he doesn't like Tom Benton. And for a while, we don't know why. But he kind of, like, warns Olive, not kind of, he does warn Olive against, just, like, watch your back with
and
him.
And most, like, importantly, watch his back, because Holden thinks that Tom's a snake. And guess what? Holden's right.
Mm-hmm. Because when she's about, they do the speech, and she recorded it because her advisor wants to see it, and wasn't able to make it, so she is, like, off her speech, and her friends are about to go to this mixer that is happening, and she's like, I'll be right there, I'm just gonna go grab my stuff, whatever. And it's just her and Tom in there, and Tom verbally assaults her by insinuating, oh, you're gonna sleep with me,
right?
You slept with Adam
to make it to the top, you're obviously gonna sleep with me. And he does try and kiss her. He does try to physically assault her.
Oh, that is true. I forgot about the kiss part. But he's
basically like, you're a hack, your research is derivative, like, you're going nowhere, the only reason I'm giving you this is because you're gonna sleep with me. And she was like, well, that's not true, I'm not coming. And he's like, well, I'll just use your research anyway, you sent it to me, thanks, bye. And she's like, that's misconduct. And he's like, meh, who's gonna believe you?
Yes. And so she is very, very upset and just goes back to her room. And
my note for this part just says, F you, Tom.
Yes. Well, also too, pretty immediately where she I forget, okay, because, like, she does that, and then there's, like, a random throwaway line of, like, oh, and the recording is, like, a couple hours. I was like,
idiot. That happens.
You have the recording.
Right. It happens.
But it's, like, midpoint.
When they get back, so they go out to dinner, where she says burgers taste like foot, which they do not. And when she gets back, she's like, oh, my phone is dead, probably because I never stopped recording or whatever.
I know, and I wanted to be like, dude, you have everything you need to show someone right now.
We don't stop right now and do that? No, because we have to draw this out even more.
I mean, to be fair, though, I can only imagine how, like, shocked she probably is, and, like, maybe, not that it's, she shouldn't have to feel this way, but I'm sure she maybe feels, like, maybe a little ashamed, or, like, he criticized her work, which is very personal. So she's, you know, at that point, I get it. But also, I just wanted to be like, you have everything you needed to, like, you have the evidence. Like, please eventually look at this, for the love of God, because you can do something about it. But, and of course, Adam wants to know what's wrong. And she's like, I can't tell you that your best friend just tried to assault me and said all these mean things to me. And so she just lies and says someone else said those things.
Yeah, she overheard people talking about how her research was derivative or whatever.
And that she wasn't able to speak publicly well or anything like that. And yeah, they go out for food and then come back. And Laura's favorite scene in the world transpires for the next 30 minutes. That
It's a literal 30-minute long chapter. And my notes, I'm not going to read this one because it's explicit. But this is what I sent you. His eyes were opaque like stained glass. What? What even is that?
I don't know. Yeah,
and that is... My next note is just, this is way too long.
Yes, that's what she said.
No.
It was. It was very long. And listen, I'm just not someone who likes or cares for sex scenes in books. If that's why, you know, if you like to read that, more power to
you. You're going
to
like it.
I truly don't care.
You're going to think 100%. It's not too long.
It was just a lot. It didn't need to be that long, in my opinion. So many euphemisms for body parts that I could live without ever hearing in sentences.
Truly terrible.
Yeah, just not, that part was not my cup of tea at all. I was content with not having to have read that, but, you know, c'est la vie.
Such is life.
Yeah, but so that all happens, and she's still like, but Adam doesn't like me, I can't, I was like, girl, it's so obvious
he likes you. Like, that's when I lost it, because after that, he's leaving early, he has told her that he is considering moving to Harvard now.
But only because she's going to Harvard, like, okay, his whole thought process.
She doesn't know that, she has a conversation with Holden later, but she doesn't know that yet, and he's
like, babe, come on,
telling her this. And she's like, oh, he's actually leaving and he's going to go work with Tom. Like, I can't tell him now. And so she's like, oh, just, you don't have to wake me up when you leave, you know, whatever. Yeah. And that's when I wrote, oh my God, just talk to each other, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that would have been so good, especially both of them, because he is very cagey about that stuff. Like, he doesn't, he is showing her with actions, but he's also not just coming out and saying it. But she's also, there's a whole thing, so many lines of where her friends are like, we wish you could see yourself the way that we see you, because you're so amazing and you deserve all the good things. And she's just like, I don't deserve anything good ever. Basically. And it's like, okay, sure, but
I get it, you know, she's young, her whole family is dead, everyone she's ever loved, that's not like her immediate friend group.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get it, but it is so annoying.
Yeah, it can kind of get a little frustrating, where it's like, if you like him that much, like, just go do it, or else you're going to be very upset with yourself later on. Like, the worst thing, he's going to say no, and you've already decided you're going to break up with him because you guys both got what you want. So, you know, worst thing is you're going to lose him either way. Best case scenario, you won't.
Right.
You know, like, come on. But they end up breaking up. Quote unquote, I mean, they were fake dating. They end their arrangement, right? Because then she goes to him. They're going to go meet up. I think he wants to see her that later that night that he left. And so she goes over there, breaks it off, but then, like, spends the next 2 days just kind of in, like, a little depressing.
Yeah, in a funk. Puddle. In the hotel room at the conference, she, like, never leaves. And finally, she has, like, 145 text messages from On and a bunch of missed calls from Malcolm. And like, oh, the craziest thing is happening. And they're like progressively getting more and more misspelled because they're obviously all out. And so, you know, she responds and they show up at her hotel room and they're all talking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it comes out that they're fake dating, right? That's when she tells On.
Yeah, it was because like the whole big thing was like, the big news was that Malcolm and Holden got together at the conference, and Malcolm had been so into Holden, like he had a big crush on him. So he's like super over the moon that they're together and they're like actually together. And then they tell, I think she does say they broke up, and that's when it kind of comes out. It comes out somehow. And then she tells On everything, you know, what was really going on. And then On's like, oh my God, I made you do all that stuff.
Right.
And put you in these situations. She was just like, I thought I was helping you because I could see how much you guys liked each other. So, like, of course I thought I was being a good friend by making sure you were close to your boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know?
And then Malcolm is like, so I've deduced that only one set of sheets is rumpled, and like, Olive told me she caught feelings, so I guess it's like progressed further, so I think she's actually sad. And so they're gonna go out and take her mind off it or whatever, and she gets an email from her professor. What are they called?
Yeah, her advisor, because she was like, after she wakes up from the funk, she's like, okay, listen, like, Adam told me that I should have had my advisor reach out to all these other people who I could spend time in their labs with and study because I need certain equipment. So I'm going to ask my advisor. So she had emailed her advisor all of these things or to say, hey, can you connect me with these people? And she's like, yeah, just send me the list, but also send me the recording of your talk. You haven't sent it yet. And she's like, oh God, I don't want to do it. She's like, okay. And then she pulls up the clip again, notices it's super long, and is like, hey guys, it's going to take me a second to edit this, so just give me a minute. And she accidentally starts playing it at the point where Tom is saying all those things. And her friends are like, what?
Excuse me?
What is that? Go back, tell me what happened again. Thank you. And she does tell them after. They end up listening to the whole clip, you know, and Olive goes into the bathroom, and then they talk about everything that happens, and is just like, she's like, I can't tell Adam because him and Tom have a grant together, and he's so excited about this research. Like, I can't tell him. It'll ruin his life, and he'll be unhappy if I take that away from him. And they're like, huh.
What if we had someone with a direct line to him that you could talk to before you talk to him? And then the god that is Holden.
Yes. She goes to talk to him and is just like, okay, can you tell me about Tom and why you don't like him and what Adam's relationship is like with him? And if you had evidence, would you share it with him? And he gives her some, you know, inspiration. It's like, I can't tell you
what to do. He's basically like, you do you, girl, but, you know, Adam's been obsessed with you for years, and...
Yes, oh yeah, that's the other thing, too, where it's like, Adam thinks Olive is in love with someone else, and Olive thinks that he's in love with someone else.
Yeah.
Because of that common, because Holden is like, oh yeah, he talked about a girl for years, and she doesn't think it's her, and it's like, it's you, come on, of course it's you. And then she goes because she finds out that he's at a dinner with some Harvard faculty as, you know, part of their plans to woo him because he's gone on like a series of interviews and now they have this dinner. And so she goes in and is going to talk to him. And of course, Tom is like, you can talk later. I know you're a child and you don't know how these things work, but you need to leave because Adam is doing grown up things. And he's like, Adam's like, can you actually go away, please?
She's just like, press play.
I know, I loved, oh my gosh, that was, I liked that a lot. I was like, what a power move, because Adam is like, dude, just like, actually leave, and Tom is refusing, and so then she just plays it to shut him up.
I guess we're all gonna hear it then.
And is just like, okay, here it is. And I was, thank goodness, Olive, that you did that. And yeah, so Tom gets fired from Harvard. We find out
eventually. My note here is, yeah, beat his ass, because Adam like throws him against a wall.
Mm-hmm, he does.
He's like the second best part of the book.
Wait, what was the first part of the
Holden
part? Holden, you're right. Holden is great. So yeah, he is just like, okay, you go home. I will deal with this now. And they fly back from the conference the next day. And of course, oh, isn't it that I like when Holden called her roommate-in-law? He was like, oh, it's yeah. roommate-in-law. He's so sweet. I love him.
I also liked that sometimes they called her Kalamata, because if I had a friend called Olive, yes. I would learn different Olive names and I would call her exclusively by those names because that's really fun.
I know. I did like that Malcolm calls her that. He calls her my Kalamata, and that thought that was super cute. Because also, same.
Yeah.
And yeah, they go home, and of course, Malcolm and Olive fly home, and they're Holden and Adam fly together, and they're like 30 minutes apart, so they're just like, we'll wait at the airport, but of course, Olive doesn't know. They haven't had a talk of like, we're together now. It's just, okay, well, I told you that Tom Benton sucks, so call me, I guess, and tell me what happened.
And then Adam's phone dies, and he has Holden text Malcolm so that Olive doesn't worry.
Yes, yeah, exactly, which is super cute. And then so they all go out to dinner together, because Holden doesn't know that they broke up or that they aren't doing their arrangement anymore. So he's, let's double date, and like, right. let's go get food and go get Thai. And the whole dinner experience was so fun. Just, it was. I think that was my favorite part of them all just,
right.
you know.
My favorite parts of this book were like the group interactions, because they really did have like great banter, and it seemed like a fun group, you know. And it was like, obviously that was the warm hug that you've been waiting for the entire book. It just took a lot of meandering to get there.
Yeah, it's like finally Olive feels like really comfortable, and like that's when I think it comes up, because she realizes that he was the guy in the bathroom that encouraged her, but she didn't know if he remembered because he didn't bring it up. And it's like, well, of course, that's kind of weird. You don't know, like, I could see not bringing that up on either side. And then it comes up that he does remember, because I think Holden says something like, oh, when he met you in the bathroom so many years ago, whatever.
Right.
And she was like, oh, you do remember.
You really do remember. And he's like, obviously, you don't. She's like, well, I couldn't see.
Yeah, she was like, well, it took me a while, but yeah, I did put it together, but I didn't know if it was you. And they walk home, and she tells him, it's like leading up to tell him. And I think that's when it goes into the epilogue, right?
Yeah.
Together, like, a year later.
Yeah, it's a year later, and they're recreating their first kiss by the water fountain, and everyone is happy and shiny, and everything is great.
Yeah, and she found a new lab to work at, so she's going to be in Berkeley, which, not as far away as could have been, but she found a lot of interest in her work, and
everyone wanted her. Everyone that got emailed was like, come work with me, Olive.
Yes. Everyone. She ended up being that girl. She got the guy and her career.
She was always that girl. Because she's not like other girls. She's more anxious.
She's more anxious. but yeah, that was my, and you read the bonus scene.
My final note says, ooh, a bonus chapter? Oh god, no.
Yes, I felt the same way, because at first I was like, when I finished it, I was like, I'll listen to the bonus chapter in the morning. It was late. And he's talking, and there's just some, like, you don't, at first it's not clear where it's taking place at, because I think it's they're kissing, and then it's clear that it's in the hotel scene, and I was like, oh dear Jesus, I'm not doing this.
I didn't do it either. So, I turned it off. I was like, nope, I'm not.
Yeah, I shifted ahead. I was like, okay, is it ever going to go away from this scene? And it does not. No. So
it's, I was only like, that.
I'm good.
I wanted, you know, the scene in the restaurant from his point of view, or like,
literally any other scene.
Literally anything else.
Mm-hmm. Would have been great. And it was just sex scene 2.0 from Adam's point of view.
And I mean, maybe that's nice for the people that were there for it. But like, I don't know. No.
Yeah. No, thank you. But overall, I mean, I don't, again, I know I'm not a rom-com person, but I did enjoy my time with this one, minus those 30 minutes. I know this one wasn't your favorite. I already know.
I felt very meh about it. Mm-hmm. 3 stars, you know, for the three things stars. That I pointed out. Miscommunication is really, it. At any point, anyone could have talked a little bit in this book, and it would have made things a little easier, like from the halfway point on. I don't like the third act breakup. I always think it's really annoying. we didn't get this in this, so that's nice.
Yeah, I did like how that was handled, because you always kind of expect, like, when things are promising and going, like, there's going to be something crazy that happens, and they break up, and it's usually very heavily miscommunication, but I liked this one where it was more like...
Instead of softer. A breakup, it was, we're going to break up with Tom, and that was great.
Yeah, I did like that. Goodbye, Tom.
Yeah, but like I told you, she kept saying, like, oh, you know, you're 34, you're one step away from osteoporosis, and I'm 36, and f*** you, Allie Hazelwood.
That is very funny. But that is, yes, that was coming up a lot of just, you're so old, like, don't you need insert old joke
here? Yeah, and I just, I get it, I do, but... I don't know. It bugged me. But I'm sure I've read that in other books and, like, not cared. I don't know why. I was just like, excuse me.
This time it was just particularly triggering.
Why are you doing that? Yeah, probably because I'm one step away from osteoporosis.
Probably because I actually have osteoporosis. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was our trek into romance. Don't expect that to happen again for another year.
No.
Because it won't.
I will read romance, but we won't discuss one on the podcast, probably. Or yeah, a rom-com. I'm sure there's, you know, romanticy in our future, but it's not the same.
Yeah, well, yeah, we get dragons in the other version. We don't get dragons in rom-coms.
Dragons are very important.
They are. Dragons and adventures and curses or something. I don't know.
People one who talk to each other. Jesus Christ.
No, only sometimes. Still only halfway there, but yeah, tune in 2 weeks. No idea what we're going to be doing for March. Yeah, I was trying to think. I was like, well, maybe this, but I have to talk to you off air.
That's a secret.
I forget when this
It's a secret, and you will all find out in 2 weeks. Oh. Time is a flat circle, and everything is scary. Let's go.
Time is fake. It doesn't exist. In the meantime, you can follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot on Instagram. Maybe we've started posting there. Definitely not. Bye.
Bye-bye.